It's a kind of magic. It's a kind of magic. A kind of magic. One dream, one soul, one prize, one goal, one golden glance of what should be. It's a kind of magic.
It sure is a kind of magic, is it not? We are back with a fresh episode just for you, fellow Hanshin Tigers fan. Welcome to episode 182 on this cloudy Monday, September the 11th. I know it's the anniversary of a very dark day in American history. Our thoughts and prayers are with all the families of the victims and friends of the victims. All right, let's move on. I'm the founder of H10 T-Ray, and joining me from Hawaii is Sanjay. Aloha, brother.
Aloha, brother T-Ray. Magical times indeed. Bring on the magic.
Unbelievable. Magic Johnson is proud of the Hanshin Tigers right now, too, because we have got this number hanging over our heads, but it just keeps changing, which is good news for us. That number keeps dropping and dropping and dropping. And before you know it, everybody, it's going to be, I don't know, Sanjay, do you think Hanshin's going to stop saying are in a few days? Are we going to actually use the Y word?
No, I think we'll keep saying are because it served us so well.
Well, I wouldn't mind that as well. I think it's kind of a cool thing. But we are going to actually talk a little bit about what happens when we are and who's going to be the MVP of the Central League in 2023, because it is going to be one of our Hanshin Tigers, almost without a doubt. Sanjay, are you ready to give the fans their required dosage of HT dopamine?
Absolutely, T-Ray.
Good. So am I. It is time for Rumors and News.
Rumors and News. Rumors and News.
So I suppose we can start with a little bit of an injury report, Sanjay. Just a couple of guys we want to mention. First of all, one that maybe I failed to mention a while back, and maybe it happened while I was on vacay last month, but Kai Ueda, pinch runner extraordinaire, has like a right leg injury apparently, and so he is down on the farm, but he's not even playing in games. So I'm expecting maybe he won't be back the rest of the season. I'm not sure. Do you know anything?
I think you're probably right. I think he actually got it injured in a game situation. I'm not remembering the details either. As well, you were gone, I think.
Right. Well, I mean, the quote-unquote good news there is that we do have Shimada and Kumagai as really, really good pinch runners. So as much as it's nice to have three, we still have two.
There you go.
Well, wishing him anyways a speedy recovery, and we may need his speed in the playoffs. So if he could come back then, we would appreciate that as fans. Also, speaking of guys we would like back in time for the playoffs, Umeno, who, as we know from the last pod, and I guess from it's been a month now since he got hit in the wrist by a pitch, and he's still, I guess, rehabbing. He has not made it into game action. I don't think he's even playing catch. But they say that roughly 2 months on the shelf for him, and it's been a month. If we are, our playoffs will begin on October the 18th, believe it or not. And so that would be 2 months and 5 days after his injury. So here's the hoping he'll be back. But in the meantime, we've got ourselves a catcher who's doing an outstanding job, is he not?
Absolutely, totally.
So wishing Umino all the best. And finally, our closer at the start of the year, Atsu Yuasa. He played catch on the 31st of August, and I think he's aiming for a late September return, possibly if he can get into some game action, either on the farm or on the top squad before the regular season ends. I'm assuming that he's going to try and do that. He said no matter what he can do, he's not expecting to get back into the closer's role or even like into high leverage situations, but if he can contribute to the team's success in any way, he wants to do it. So I was happy to hear that.
Yes. Come back, Atsu.
We miss you. And speaking of guys that we, I guess, have seen come up recently, we'll just talk about one swap that's happened between top squad and farm team. Ren Kajia, one of our high leverage relievers, was sent down on the 1st of September and replaced by Masumi Hamachi, who was a high leverage guy last year. This year, he has really not been himself, but he's still there. And he seems to have turned a corner. Like, he's not pitching the way that he did at the start of the year that earned him the demotion.
And I've seen various pundits say that Kajiya really has been tired. He's been used a lot. He can use a break.
He has. He's one of those guys that is kind of the versatile, like use him in tight situations, use him when we just need a guy to do an extra inning, use him across innings at times. And he's done it on short rest or no rest, all sorts of things. So give him the rest and let's see if he can come back in time for the playoffs.
It's good enough for me.
Yep. Okay. One more thing we want to note, and this actually we'll get to in details during the recaps, but Sanjay found a very interesting fact about this year's team, and I'm going to let him share it with you.
So with our win most recently that got us to the M5, we have clinched a winning record against every other Central League team this year. And that is the first time that has happened in 61 years. The last time it happened was 1962. Even I wasn't alive then. So we're talking about a long, long, long time.
Even Sanjay wasn't alive. Yeah. For the record, that was actually the very first year that the Tigers won the CL in the two-league era. Obviously, there was no CL in the one-league era. But yeah, 1962 was their first pennant season. And so it is kind of fitting that we do it again in 2023. Congrats. And, you know, the interesting thing is, I think our worst record this year is 13-9. So against the Bay Stars. So we've clinched that winning record against every other team, still having, I think, a minimum of three against every single team still to play.
Yeah. And they call that Kanzen Yusho, right? Perfect. Oh, are. Sorry.
Kanzen are.
Are. Yes.
Okay. Well, let's have a little look at what our non-Japanese players have been up to in recent weeks.
Did you hear something?
Coming in from around the world, foreign imports.
Get started with KK. I think he is still MIA. I've not heard a word from him or from media. So he's still back in America. And again, if he's been away for what has been a month now, I don't see him coming back and getting ramped back up to play at all. I mean, unless he's planning to come back like in the next week and then he ramps up for the playoffs. But even then, I'm not sure how the team would use him, especially now that they've got the Brewski in the bullpen.
Yep.
So let's get right onto the Brewski then. Actually, since we last reported to you at the end of August, so in the first eight games of September, he has only had one mound, and it was a clean inning against the Dragons, I believe. So he's still perfect on the year as far as ERA goes. But yeah, interesting. They have not used him very much at all.
They haven't really needed to go to him. And he's open that he's, I think the last comment I saw from him was that he hopes to be used in high leverage situations by earning the trust from the management. So,
well, we shall see. You know, we have what, 18 games left on tap for this regular season. So I wonder how many he's going to get into. And then also, not that we want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but once we are, I wonder how much he's going to keep using the players that have been worked really hard. So I think that might give Brewski a chance to get more action because he's only had five mounds. You know what I mean? Once we've got the are, he's not going to want to keep using like the Iwazaki or Iwasada or these guys that are seem to be being trotted out almost daily, right?
Yeah. And he's been quoted as saying that he wants to make sure no one gets hurt going forward. But also that he is mindful of individual records and will try to do his best to support them too.
Yeah, it's an interesting kind of balance that has to be found, not only about the individual records, but even just keeping these guys fresh and keeping the edge on, right? You know, we don't want them to lose their edge heading into the most important part of the season.
No rust, please.
Right. Okay, let's go to our last pitcher, and that would be Bees. And we got some news about him at long last. He's been down on the farm, not doing a whole heck of a lot. I mean, he's kind of gotten into some starts or whatever, but he was called up to the top team practice squad. Was it today or yesterday? And I think so too. He's expected to get a start within the next, well, I guess 8 days, because between tomorrow and the 18th, we have seven games in 7 days. So I guess we're going to go to a 7-man rotation just for that stretch.
Yeah, and I think that makes all kinds of sense. And welcome back, Bees.
We'll see. I wonder if they'll give him a start in Hiroshima as a chance to kind of exact revenge on them for what happened last time he was there.
We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, if it's raining, then please don't. But anyhow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It didn't go Touché. So well for him. Yeah. Just so you know, on the farm, Bees has a 2.36 ERA in 42 innings pitched. So he's looking pretty solid down there. Now, as for our two import hitters, they're both on the top squad. Neither of them getting a whole lot of... or doing a whole lot, I should say. Noisy, 4-for-23 in September so far with 2 doubles, 6 RBI though, 4 runs scored, 1 walk and 2 strikeouts.
He had some key RBIs. I'd take that.
He got on the podium once. So 1 podium in 8 games, not too shabby.
Yep.
But Mieses, early in the month, got 2 starts. And then he also had a pinch hit appearance fairly recently. And that was a double. His results for the month so far are 2-for-9 and 2 strikeouts.
Sounds about right.
There you have it. Okay. I saw a really cool video clip of our man Fuji. So we got to talk about Juichi.
Juichi. Checking in with Fujinami. Juichi. Checking in with Fujinami.
Juichi. So Fuji made an outstanding play covering first base the other day, where the throw was very much off and he had to use every millimeter of his 198 centimeters or 1,980 millimeters to stretch out, catch the ball and keep his foot on the bag. Impressive stuff. And any pitcher, even a little bit shorter than Fuji, wouldn't have been able to make the play.
I saw your Twitter post and I'm not 100% convinced that that was the right call, but I'll take it.
Yeah, well, they didn't review it, so it's all good, right? I mean, yeah. Probably the other team was like, he looks tall enough to have made the play. So, yeah. Anyhow, his ERA, we're not going to go over the season numbers just because we're tired of giving those high numbers. Instead, why don't we go over this, though? His numbers with the O's. He's got a 4.18 ERA. In his last 11 mounds, he has no walks. His whip with the O's is a 1.01, and the batting average against him is 179. Since moving over to the East Coast.
Woo-hoo!
Yes. Keep going, Fuji. Keep going. We love what you're doing. Right. Before we get into recapping 8 games of Hanshin Tigers action for you, let's give some shout outs to our patrons. So we got for you here, Yana in Osaka and Helsinki, Fran in the UK, Sean in Manchester, Jay in Minnesota, Rick, Ian and Blaine in Texas. Shane Barclay in Korea right now. He's with Japan Ball. The tour is here in Asia. They're coming to Japan this week. Yes, this week, I think. Yeah, they'll be in Tokyo. Where was I? Mario, Tokyo Swallows Podcast, JD in Kyoto, Tom Zilla of Vien Kansai in Osaka, Joe in Wakayama, Anita in my backyard, Nishinomiya, and Jamie of Central English, Okayama. Thank you all for your support.
Thank you, patrons.
Recap!
So, Sanjay, 8 games of action to report. Last time that we did predictions, we weren't sure when we were recording, so we added in the Giants 3-game series into our predictions. And you had said, I'm going to predict 7-4. And I said, you said you were being conservative. And I said, I'll go with 8-3. We got 8 games here and we got 8-0.
I was wrong. I'm happy to be wrong.
I couldn't be happier to be wrong as well, assuming that we win one of these games against the Giants. So let's go to Jingu Stadium and recap the three game set against the Swallows. September 1st, we beat them 4-2. Morishita hit 2 home runs. Murakami with 7 shutout innings and 9 strikeouts. Iwasada was shaky, and our fielders, I should say, made 3 errors. So it was not a pretty game on defense. But Jingu brings out the best in our bats sometimes. And so for Morishita, I think it was his first time playing there as a pro, and he did play there as a collegiate college athlete. Yes.
Yes.
So good for him. The welcome back to Jingu with 2 home runs. Next day,
I think his first multiple home run day as a pro, no?
True. Yes. First of many to come, we're hoping.
Yes.
Next day, we win 6-5. Murakami hit them a 2-run home run in the bottom of the first, but we had a big third inning with Chika giving us an RBI single, Onodera with a 2-RBI triple, and Teru with a 3-run home run. So the sixth spot there really did us right. The Swallows put a scare into our bullpen in the eighth, but Aoyagi got his 7th win on the year. And Iwazaki, I think, is now up to 31 saves. This was his 28th.
Yes.
Sweet. And Iwazaki, am I wrong in saying he's leading the Central in saves now?
He is leading the Central in saves.
That's pretty good for a guy who didn't even start as the closer. Okay, let's finish up this series. September 3rd, 7-1. This was, I guess, one Sunday ago. And Ito with a complete game. And his lone blemish was a 9th inning solo home run. He had a chance at the Maddox. He was so close.
He was so there.
Yeah. Yeah. And a pinch hit home run ruined it. Well, who cares? Sato with another 3-run home run. Nakano and Noisy with RBIs. Morishita with another home run. And Chikamoto with 2 triples. So he's leading the Central with 11. But the most controversial play of this month so far, I would say, even in Japanese baseball.
Yep.
Happened in this one. Top of the 9th, Chikamoto at the dish. And he got drilled in the ribs for the second time in 2 months, or in just over 2 months.
With a score 7-1.
Yes. 7-0 at the time, actually. Yeah.
7-0, yeah.
Yeah, it was 7-0 when it happened, but yeah, lefty on lefty. It was there. It was one of their just kind of garbage time relievers. And of course, you know, Chikamoto got drilled in the ribs at the start of July. And so he went down in agony, and the whole Hanshin Tigers nation held their breath.
Totally.
And everybody was absolutely pissed at the Yakult Swallows, because this is the same team that hit Umeno in the wrist. Again, I think it was in a game in garbage time.
Yes.
Late in the game. And it basically has put Umeno on the shelf. Obviously, you know, they didn't do that on purpose. And by my understanding, they did not do this one on purpose either. But why is it? I got into a little bit of a tiff on Twitter about this, because someone was saying, oh, well, Fujinami drilled our guys for so many years. So I looked up the numbers, and like, the Swallows almost year in and year out are the top of batters hit.
Yeah.
As in, their pitchers are doing it more than anyone.
Exactly. And at one point, Okada, Okada and Takatsu were, well, maybe not, they weren't in a war of words necessarily, but they were in the press daily back and forth. And Takatsu says something like, well, he's a screwball pitcher, you know, Shuto. So
it tends to happen.
And things happen.
Yeah.
And Okada's like, so if you're a Shuto Boru pitcher, then it's okay to hit people? What the hell is that? That sounds like a total pitcher kantoku manager who's like, doesn't understand what it's like to be a hitter and get plunked. You're only hitting people. You're never getting hit yourself.
Yeah. What a cop out. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, I listen to a lot of commentary from the YouTubers, and by YouTubers, I don't mean like dumb folk like myself. I mean like the former pro baseball players. So like the Satozaki or the Miyamoto or Takagi, you know, all these guys that have had great careers. And so it was interesting to hear what they had to say as well. And, you know, some of them, they're all really good at kind of maintaining that neutrality. So they're not attacking the Swallows. They're also not dismissing what happened. But, you know, you look at the game situation, the score, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, like some of them came to the defense of Yamamoto, the pitcher. And it's fair. You know, this is a kid he's still young, and he's got to get those outs. He's got to find a way to get out so he can get his next mound appearance. So he's not going to just say, well, I'm just going to pitch him outside and, you know, I'm going to stay away from throwing that inside pitch because it's late in the game and we're losing by 7. Like, he doesn't care what the score is. He wants to get the out. So I can understand that. But at the same time, I did like what the Swallows, I think it was like their assistant team representative or something said. He said, like, we didn't do it on purpose. We would never do it on purpose. It's clearly just a lack of skill from our pitchers.
Yes, that's what he said.
Gijutsu busoku.
Yep. Totally. Yep. So good.
So there you go. All right, let's move on. We're going to go into Nagoya to see how we did at Vantoline Dome. The first game was like one I've never seen before. How is it that we're scoring 8 runs at Vantoline? and it just looked like we probably could have scored more, and it looked like it came super easy. It was amazing. So we went 8-2. We were helped by an E4 in the top of the first, a ball that went kind of under their second baseman's glove, but we got a lot of extra base hits in this game as well. So Sato, Noisy, Nakano, and others. And we put up 8, and Nishi went 7 innings, allowed 8 hits, 2 runs, and only struck out 1, but he got the win and the Heroes Podi.
Yeah, he was Nishi at his most Nishi-ist, if I may say that. It's like he was not blowing pitches by anybody by any means, mm-mm, but he was getting the outs.
He seems happy to, like, this 7-2, I'm sure he was more than happy with, whereas I think other pitchers might have been like, nah, you know what? I shouldn't have allowed that home run that I did, or I could have pitched here better. But Nishi's just kind of like, well, you know, if I can keep the team in the game, I'm happy. So yeah. I think he's lost a little bit of his killer instinct, but at the same time, maybe that's just a veteran that knows, you know what I mean?
Yeah, agreed.
If you sweat the small stuff too much, you're just not going to be able to mentally hang in there for a whole year. So I'm cool with his outing and with the win. The next game, man, this one was just like, I felt like it was pins and needles for most of the game, because we did score in the top of the first. We had a chance for more. We had the bases loaded with one out, but we only got the one run, and that's the only run that scored all game. So Saiki was somewhat shaky, and again, not as bad as Nishi as far as number of base runners, right? It was 4 hits and 2 walks in 6 innings, but he did have a couple of innings where it looked like they might score. They didn't, and Ishii, Kirishiki, and Iwazaki shut it down as well. We got the win, and we cleared the heck out of Nagoya Dome, or Vantolin Dome, with a winning record this year.
Woohoo!
Yeah. First time since 2017.
And this one, I give props to Okada for his Okada Keito magic, the pitching sequences.
Yep, because Saiki was not even at 100 pitches. I don't think he was even at 90. But he saw something in that sixth inning, especially saying, you know what, I think he's getting fatigued and it's time to pull him. And good timing. It worked well.
Yep.
So then we get to the key series, honestly, of the season, right? We've got a magic number of 12, and we're facing the Carp. And 12 might sound like, oh, we're getting close to the end, but it was an 8 game lead in the standings. I think it was 8, because the Carp had lost the day before when we had a day off. So it could have been 7 if they had won. It was 8. But if the Carp sweep this, it's a 5 game gap, and we still have to face the Carp 4 more times in Hiroshima. So the magic number would have stayed, but it also would have been a little bit in jeopardy, just because if the Carp were able to sweep us again, it would have looked really bad. But the opposite happened. We swept them. They brought their best pitchers, and we sat them all down. And especially the first two, we sat them down fast, man. We got rid of Tokoda pretty quickly in the first game. Morishita and Sato with solo home runs in the first and second innings, respectively. Kinami with an RBI single in the bottom of the fifth. And then it was 3-0. The Carp scored and knocked Murakami out in the top of the eighth, so he didn't complete that inning, but the relief came in and stopped them from storming back. And then Oyama with the insurance RBI double in the bottom of the eighth. 4-1 win.
Oyama, stud.
Loved it. Loved it. So the next day, they bring in Morishita. Interesting thing about their Morishita. To this point, he's got 3 losses on the season, 2 of them against the Tigers. Neither of which he pitched poorly in. So he definitely is somebody that has our number, but not on this day he don't. So Noisy, Otake, and Chikamoto with 2 RBIs, but RBI hits from these 3 guys in the bottom of the second, so it's a 4-0 lead. And then Oyama, again with the insurance run, this time in the bottom of the fifth, just the G5 with a runner on third. So it is 5-0. Otake was strong. He gave up an unearned run in the top of the seventh, and that was an E5 on Sato, and then a Texas leaguer just over Kinami's head for the score. So it wasn't really like a strong run for them. And there you go. And we had a rarity in NPB. I think they said it's the first time in 3 years. Our magic number was reduced by 3 in this one day.
Yeah. You want to explain that one?
Yeah. So it was 10 heading into the game, and of course, we reduce it by 1 by winning, another by the Carp losing. And the third one comes by virtue of the fact that if the standings end in a tie, the first tiebreaker is a head-to-head matchup this season. And the Tigers, with this win, got their 12th win against the Carp. And there's one tie in there. So the best the Carp could do is a 12-12-1. And if that first tiebreaker is tied, then the second tiebreaker is the record on the season minus interleague play. And the Tigers have a better non-interleague, or the Tigers had a worse interleague. So they automatically have a better non-interleague record than the Carp.
That's like so esoteric. I had no idea until you pointed that out.
So yeah, it's very much like just by this thin thread. But then that all becomes moot because the very next day we go out and beat them 5-1. That was just yesterday for the H10 Patreon game viewing party that we did online. And this one pitted Ito against Kuri. And Kuri actually no-hit us for 5 innings.
And what's the pitcher's duel?
It was. And Ito gave up a solo home run in the top of the 5th. McBroom smashed one that Noisy did not even take a single step. Did not even look back, anything. It was gone. But then the bottom of the 6th, we got one back. It was a Nakano infield single, compounded with an E4. And then a Morishita RBI single to bring him home. And then at the bottom of the 8th, we got 4 runs. So that knocked Kuri out of the game, gave him the loss. It also gave Ito his 10th win of the season. And before we talk about Ito bottom of the 7th, let's point out Murakami got his 10th win on Friday. Otake got his 10th win on Saturday. Ito got his 10th win on Sunday.
What a trifecta.
That's pretty sweet. They said the last time that happened in NPB was, I forgot how many years ago, but it just doesn't happen every day.
I mean, did it happen?
I think it was 1980 with the Carp. I think the Carp in 1980 or something had 3 straight games in which a pitcher achieved his 10th win. But yeah, 43.
MVP. I want to make those 3 guys our MVP almost.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about that in just a wee bit here. But let's talk just real briefly about that bottom of the 7th situation, Sanjay, because it is an interesting one. The game is tied 1-1. We've got bases loaded and Ito due up at the plate. So what would you do in this situation where we've got a solid chance at taking the lead if we bring in a pinch hitter and knock in a run in any form, you know, a sac fly, a squeeze play, a soft grounder, a hit, obviously, a home run, obviously. What happened?
So normal baseball strategy would dictate that you would bring in a pinch hitter for the starting pitcher. And in fact, as a matter of fact, Itohara was in the next batter's box on deck, taking swings.
But they didn't use him here.
They didn't use him.
No, because Ito asked Okada, can I pitch the whole game? I want to stay in the game. And Okada said, okay, get out there and make the difference right here then. Like, I'll give you this at bat. Kimete koi. Right?
Right. You do it. You make it happen.
Yeah. And he didn't. He hit into a 5-4-3 double play. And we were all thinking like, oh no, this is going to be one of those things they talk about, you know, after the game's over and in the media, we're going to read about this for the next 24 hours, except for the fact that the next inning we put on that 4 spot. So we're not going to even talk about that. It's an 8-0 stretch for us. We are 11 games up on the Carp right now. And the magic number is 5 with 15 games to go, 18 games to go, 18 games to go. So essentially, I mean, the Carp have to hope that we go 4-14 or worse, and they would have to be perfect.
Ain't gonna happen.
Nope, not gonna happen. So now that we're on the note of what we could have been talking about for our Okada corner, let's do the Okada corner.
Are? Okada.
This goes along with the theme song we used at the top of the show. It's a kind of magic, don't you think? Okada magic.
Okada magic all the way.
Like, it just seems like every time he chose to change the pitcher, he chose the right pitcher to come in and get us out of jams. Every time he called in a pinch hitter, I mean, they didn't all get hits, but a lot of times, like, he used Itohara just in Sunday's game in that situation. It was funny because Shimada was due up, right? It was Shimada's spot. and I was talking to my Patreon friends. I'm so terrible. I shouldn't say this even on the air and make it public, but I said, like, you know what? I think Shimada is probably my least favorite batter on the Tigers, like batter, right? And then Itohara came out. I was like, he might be my second least favorite. And then they're like, I hope he proves you wrong, T-Ray. And I was like, yeah, I hope he does too. And he did. So there you go. Yeah, good stuff. But, you know, all those decisions, they worked. Okada has just got a great head for the game, does he not?
A head for the game and a sense for the situation. I think he's got like some sort of uncanny sixth sense about him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unbelievable. So props to Okada. And obviously, you know, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, except that this upcoming corner is doing that. But like, Okada is going to go down as one of the greatest, if not the greatest manager in Tigers history now, I think.
Yeah, well, he's getting up there in total number of wins. It's like third, right?
Right. And so Fujimoto back in the 60s won us two pennants. But this is the second manager in team history to win the pennant twice. And he's putting 18 years between his.
Yeah, that's what's amazing.
Yes. I mean, a lot of people thought at the start of the year, he's not going to be able to play baseball in 2023 or manage baseball in 2023. He's too old fashioned. Can't say that no more. Who's got the best record in NPB? Hanshin Tigers. That's right. So we love you, Okada. We can definitely say that now with certainty. Okay,
here.
It's time for the hot talk.
Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hot topics. Hot topics.
So, as I mentioned at the top of the show, today we are going to talk about who the 2023 Central League MVP should be. And you might think we're getting ahead of ourselves here, but I'm going to say no, we're not, because by the time we record again, we're already going to have added, and then everybody's going to be talking about it then. So let's talk about it before everybody else, right? So here's how it goes. The Central League MVP, since they started giving it out in, I guess, 1950, has always been given to a player on the Yusho, on the pennant-winning team. And let's keep in mind, like, the playoffs don't factor into the pennant. It's the regular season standings that determines the pennant winners. There are three exceptions to this. 1964, Sadaharu Oh won the MVP on the, I think it was fourth place Giants, maybe. He hit 55 home runs that year, setting a Japanese record.
Stood for a long time. Yeah.
It did. 1974, Sadaharu Oh wins MVP on the second place Yomiuri Giants. And that might be because he won the Triple Crown at age 34, which is the oldest. He's the oldest, I think, even to this date, the oldest Triple Crown achiever in NPB history. And the third exception is 2013, when the sixth place Swallows one player did enough to earn MVP, and that was Vladimir Ballantyn, who set the new NPB record with 60 home runs. So
yeah, and that wasn't even close. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you look at those three exceptions, though, I mean, all of those were like historic seasons, right? I mean, the 1974 might be an exception, but the I believe the Giants finished like a half game or a game behind the Dragons that year. So it was not like they were an out of contention team. Anyhow, all that to say, I'm assuming that if Hanshin does are here in the next 18 games, the MVP should go to one of our guys, because I don't see anybody else in in the Central League having a historically significant season to the point totally where agree. They would override the rule.
Totally
right?
Agree. Yeah, agreed.
So then the question becomes, who the heck on the Hanshin Tigers would you award the MVP to? Because Sanjay, I think you'll agree with me on this. Nobody's having a standout season with the Tigers either. It's not like one player is carrying the load or is responsible for more wins than anybody else, by and large.
More or less, I agree with you. But they're all having a hand in it.
They are all. But as far as I know, they're not going to be giving the MVP to the whole team or to the starting lineup or even to, like you were saying earlier, I'm going to give the MVP to these three pitchers. And yeah, pretty good case for doing so, but I've never heard of them doing that.
No, it doesn't happen. It won't. This is Japan we're talking about.
Right. So assuming it's got to go to an individual, to whom should they give the MVP? I'm going to list you six guys here that I think could get some mention or get some votes. And then we'll each pick our own at the end. If you want to add some stats or some facts to this, then that's great. But here we go. So number one, we'll start with our number one, our leadoff hitter, Koji Jikamoto, right? He's been the leadoff hitter almost the entire season. I think he batted number two once or maybe twice when he was slumping a bit. And then, of course, when he missed action because of injury. But he's won the Golden Glove 2 years in a row. He's probably going to win it again this year. He's the leader in stolen bases in the Central League. And he's also got a very high RBI total for a guy that bats leadoff. So I was looking at this as well, that in his absence, he missed 11 games with cracked ribs and the team went 5-6 during that stretch. And obviously, you know, it's not just because of him. The team was not performing that well then, but they had a losing record without him during that time. So the other one is his RISP is about 400 and his OPS is 828. So he's got some pretty solid numbers.
Yep. He's totally in contention for MVP.
Yes. Okay.
If I had to say one thing, it's that we still won five games without him.
Okay. But we would.
So is he irreplaceable? He was replaced.
Yes. But if we went on a 5-6 stretch over the, like, if you extrapolate that out over a season, we're not only not getting the Are, we're not getting the playoffs. So.
Yeah. We're not playing 500 ball. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. So next contender is Aoyama. Our number four hitter, he has been the number four hitter all season. And he is, I think, one of like three players in all of CL, all the Central, that has played every game in the same spot in the lineup. That's pretty outstanding. He leads the league in walks, and he almost certainly will finish the season with that title. He's playing Golden Glove defense at first base. He definitely makes the hitters around him better. He's got a team high OPS of 839 and an on base percentage of 401. So he's keeping, you know, those rallies going, whether it's with his bat or with his eyes.
You know, that's a crazy number when you think about it. Runners is on base percentage of 401.
Mm-hmm.
4 out of 10 times he's on base.
Yeah. Just a nitpick about something that I hear a lot from baseball commentators and it bugs me, or even just people talking baseball. Well, baseball is a sport where if you fail 7 out of 10 times, you're still great. But I would look at OBP as opposed to batting average. And even then, batting average doesn't factor in stuff like, especially in Japan, where they're like, well, I purposely hit it the opposite side to advance the runner. And that counts as an out. It counts against your batting average. But anyways, he gets on base 4 out of 10 times. So I would say that's a line or a sign of true excellence, because you don't see that very much across any league. An OBP of 400 is elite.
Agreed.
That said, I won't argue against anyone just yet. So I'm not going to put any negatives on anyone. Let's go to my next candidate that I think deserves at least a mention. That would be Kinami. I think he might get a few votes. He won't get mine, but he's the best number 8 hitter in NPB. He plays very good defense, and with bases loaded this year, he is batting a cool, or red hot, I should say, 500. And that includes yesterday, he had a bases loaded 2 RBI single.
Just have a think about that. He's hitting 500 with bases loaded. Who does that?
Yeah. And I mean, the nice thing too is that the pitcher usually comes up next. And so I think that might be also one of the they don't want to just walk him. And so I think he's getting a decent amount of pitches to swing at in those situations, more so than he does in other situations. The last position player that I think he might get some votes just by virtue of what he's done the past month and what he'll continue to do until we are, and that would be our catcher Sakamoto, who, if you look at batting average or some of his, you know, offensive stats, you're not going to see anything that would make you think he merits it. But the team has won, I think, over 70% of the games that he's started this year. 70%. And he's started like a boatload of games this year. It's crazy.
He's been given credit for calling a lot of the games. Our three 10-wing pitchers have done their thing.
And I was actually just going to mention exactly that. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think the team ERA with him behind the mask is, I mean, our overall team ERA is tops in the CL and maybe even tops in NPB. With him, though, it's even better. So I don't know if Umeno is going to get the starting job back in 2024, man, because Sakamoto has just really shown himself to be extremely valuable. So let's go to a couple pitchers that may get some votes. They may surprise and get MVP just because pitchers like Yamamoto over with the Oryx Buffaloes has won it twice in a row. So why not one of our pitchers, right? Shoki Murakami. Okay, he's got the 10 wins, 5 losses, but those are tough luck losses. He has the top ERA in the CL in what is essentially his rookie season. His ERA was well under 2, isn't it? Like 1.7?
I think so.
Batting average again. He's only got 93 hits against. He's the only qualified pitcher in the CL that has under 100 hits against. I mean, he's not throwing heat like Roki Sasaki style, right? He's got a decent fastball, but it's nowhere near that speed. But he's just got so many different pitches and such good control. And again, he's got the good game caller in Sakamoto. I was listening to last time's podcast just earlier today. And both times, or three times, I think, we had Murakami games mentioned. And all three times, it was like 3 hits against in 7-8 innings. Sick.
Yeah. And his ERA is 1.76, by the way. And I think his last outing had 0 walks as well. I mean, the guy walks like 1 per game. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And I remember like at the start of the season when he started the year with 25 straight shutout innings, something like that. Yeah. He tied the team record. It was either 25 or 31. And I don't know if he had any walks or he had like 1 walk in that time as well. So yeah, crazy good control. So yeah, why not Shoki, right? 3 straight MVPs named Murakami in the CL. Could happen.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yes.
I saw your quote.
Trying to be clever on the Twitter or on the X. And the last candidate we've got, though, is the Zach Attack, right? Suguru yeah. Iwazaki, our closer, de facto closer, because Atsu got hurt. But he is I've written it as this in this way. He's the best closer in NPB on a successful team, because I think that Martinez of the Dragons is better numbers wise. And his numbers are ridiculous, video game crazy numbers. But Iwazaki's numbers are pretty darn good too.
And he gives some of the best interviews at the end of the games.
He just deadpans everybody else's catchphrases, but it's hilarious.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm going to look into this, man. I'm going to check the days that he did the podium. And I'm pretty sure most of them he said, "Ashita mo katsubai," which is Umeno's catchphrase, right? Yeah. Which basically is like Fukuoka dialect for "we're going to win tomorrow." I'm going to see if we actually did Katsubai the day after, because I'm pretty sure we did almost every time you said it.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. So there you go. Who's your choice among these 6 or others? Who do you think is the MVP?
So my choice is going to have to be Big Mountain, Oyama, Mr. Reliable. You know, I think this back when Okada was the manager the first time, where said it's just such a comfort to be able to right in Kanemoto as the number 4 hitter day in and day out and know that he's going to be there from start to finish every game and give it his top quality performance. And that, I think, is what Oyama is doing this year. He's been there every inning of every game, batting number 4. I mean, there's no counterfactual. We can't actually prove that somebody else would have done better, but we're pretty darn happy with the results. And what I meant to say earlier with his Golden Glove defense and making other infielders better, I meant that like Larry Sheets back when he was playing first base for the Tigers after
Andy Sheets,
shortstop. Andy Sheets. Yeah. Sorry, Larry Parrish.
Sorry, Larry.
Andy Sheets. Yeah. When you have a glove man at first base, the infielders relax and they can make better plays than they normally would because they know they don't, if it's anywhere in the vicinity, it'll get caught.
He's scooping it. Yep.
Yeah. And that's what I think Oyama has done a wonderful job of this year.
Agree.
He's elevated our entire defense just by him being anchored at first.
Agree. Totally. And so like you said, I mean, the manager is building the lineup around that number 4 hitter. You know what I mean? Like that's the first name that goes on the scorecard. He doesn't have to think, where do I put him or who do I put here? It's Oyama first base every day, all season. And there's definitely something to be said about that. So, you know, Sanjay and I talked about this via the chat before we even recorded this. And I thought there's two real candidates and I hope we don't choose the same one. And we didn't. So I'm actually going to go with Chikamoto, our leadoff hitter. And for basically the reasons that I gave when I kind of introduced him. But I think this team kind of starts and finishes with Chikamoto. I mean, when he, it's not that, you know, when he doesn't hit, we don't win, but with him being at the top of the order, it's because of his clutch hitting that Kinami is so dangerous as well. It's kind of, it's the Sojo Koka. What exactly?
Yeah, they complement each other very well. Yeah.
Right. And that, you know, one is building upon the other. Without Kinami, there's no Chikamoto. Without Chikamoto, there's no Kinami type of thing. But, you know, Kinami being able to set the table as he has, Kinami gets the hit, the pitcher bunts him over, and then Chikamoto's got the RBI chance. How many times have we seen that this year? Right? So,
plenty.
Other teams' pitchers can't say, well, if I can get past the, you know, if I can get to two outs with their leadoff guy, I'll be okay, because there's probably a guy in scoring position. And Chikamoto is going to bring him home. And it just seems like Chikamoto has got that extra gear. I would almost say, like, Morishita, if he had played the whole year the way that he has the second half, he would be an MVP candidate, because he has got the clutch gene like crazy. But Chikamoto, too, he's got the clutch gene.
I agree.
Yeah. We need the hit. He's getting it, right?
I agree totally.
Just one more thing to add. Not that I want to diss anybody, but when you, on occasion, have Mieses in right field, or when you've got Noisy in left field, or both, there's a little bit more pressure on Chikamoto to cover a little bit more ground. I mean, it's kind of proven by the numbers that the range out of Noisy and Mieses is not great, but Chikamoto has made up for it. So that's another one we can't ignore.
Totally true.
Yeah. So it will be interesting to see who they name MVP at season's end. Obviously, more exciting than that is us winning the CL pennant, and then hopefully making some noise in the playoffs. But I'm going to keep my eyes on this story as well. And I hope that you do as well. I hope that you send us some comments in some form, either on the socials or by email or in the comments on the website, whatever. Who's your choice for MVP of this Hanshin Tigers team and why? All right, Sanjay, we are going to jump into some predictions.
What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions.
What's going to happen? What's the record going to be?
So, we already kind of predicted the Giants series, but not really. And so let's just kind of go over the calendar then between now and, I don't know, should we just go right through to the end of the season? Why the heck not? I don't know when we're going to be talking again. So let's just do it. Probably 2 weeks from now, but just to make sure, this is what we got coming up. It's the Giants, 12th, 13th, 14th. Then we're in Hiroshima for two. And then we're hosting the Bay Stars for two. So that's our 7 games in 7 days. We get a day off, and then we go 8 games in 8 days. So we host the Giants for two. We go to Jingu Stadium for two. We go to Vantoline Dome for two. And then we host the Swallows for one and the Dragons for one. That would be 26th and 27th, respectively. And then finally, we get another day off on the 28th of September. And we end the season with 3 straight road games, one in Yokohama on the 29th, and then 2 straight in Hiroshima, the 30th and October 1st. Those could very well be a playoff preview, other than the fact that we won't be playing those games in Hiroshima. So
how many games total is that?
18 games left. It's 7-7, day off, 8-8, day off, and then 3. And I mean, honestly, like, the magic number being 5, I don't know that it matters, like, what the win-loss record is going forward, or even, like, yeah, I don't know. What do you want to predict here? You wrote something in the notes.
Well, I wrote that it would be very interesting to see how the games against Swallows at Jingu on the 22nd and 23rd play out, mm-hmm. because of that old beef between Okada and Takatsu with regard to the beamings, mm-hmm. and the fact that they'd never actually talked with each other. And And I'd seen the videos that you posted on stuff too, where it's like in the old days, they would have had a bench clearing brawl and everything would have settled. But because these days we don't do that because all the players are chummy chummy with each other from World Baseball Classic or spring training together or whatever, or off-season training together. So there's a lot of, there could be some festering bad blood, which should be interesting. But as T-Ray kind of mentioned, if we're already outed at that point, then maybe it's water under the bridge.
Yeah, I think the bad blood is more so between the managers than the players on either team. So I don't know that, for one, Okada doesn't really give instructions to the players directly. So he's not going to tell any pitcher like, hey, you got to plunk Murakami or whatever. But I mean, it could come through the coaches or it could just be something else, you know, pitch him real tight. Or it could just be, hey, you know what, if we've already got the pennant, he might just very purposely pull the whole starting lineup and say, we're starting a whole different set of players here. I don't think he'll do that because he wants Oyama to get the perfect season of 143.
True.
But it'll depend who the Swallows bring out there as well. But he might actually mid game, especially, you know, with Chikamoto or guys that are kind of nursing injuries, or like even like a Sakamoto, who's now our one and only experienced healthy catcher. And we gotta protect that guy. Right.
I think he should.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I hope he does.
So let's do this for the predictions then. The earliest that we could possibly clinch the Central League pennant is the 14th of September, which is a game that we are attending together at Koshien Stadium. It would require for the Tigers to sweep the Giants and the Carp to lose 2 of 3 against the Swallows, or the opposite. The Swallows sweep the Carp and we win 2 of 3 against the Giants. One of those combinations would get us the Are at the game that we attend. If not, then we go to Hiroshima for 2 and we host the Bay Stars for 2, take a day off, and then host the Giants for 2. I'm assuming sometime before the 21st, we will clinch the pennant. If not, then we're at Jingu for 22nd, 23rd, and that would be where we would hopefully clinch it. But what are your thoughts? What day are we going to clinch this pennant?
So I would like us to clinch at home. Yes. And based on that, I'm not unrealistic enough. I mean, I would love it if we clinched on the 14th when you and I are both there at the Ponta deck or the Lawson deck or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think more realistically, it's the Bay Star series.
Yeah. The thing about that is, I think that would almost require us to lose both games in Hiroshima. Because with a magic number of 5, right? I agree with you. I would love for that to happen too. Either, you know, if we win either of those games in Hiroshima, that knocks it down to at the most 3, you know, depending on what happens in this series. Like, right. I would assume we're going to win at least 1 or 2 against the Giants. So if we win 2 against the Giants, let's say, and the Carp lose 1 against the Swallows, then the magic number is 2. And then if we win 1 against the Carp, it's over.
It's over. I guess it'll happen in Hiroshima then.
So I think it could happen in Hiroshima, but I'm going to go bold and say it happens on the 14th when we're there. Let's do it.
Let's do this.
I want to see it.
I'll be all over that.
There you go. Well, that's a wrap for another episode of H10 Hanshin Tigers English News. Thank you for tuning in. We are going to keep coming at you until the end of the season, into the playoffs, and all the way until this ends in celebration. And we won't be reporting from the bottom of the Dotonbori now, but we'll report to you from wherever we are at. If you haven't gotten your fill of us, we are out there on the internet. You can join us on Patreon. The link is in the show notes, the website, the X, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. And T-Ray also has a column in Daily Sports. Most recent one featured the overseas Hanshin Tigers, non-Japanese Hanshin Tigers fans. I'm hoping to do another one. I'm not sure yet, but it might be the domestic or in Japan, non-Japanese Hanshin Tigers fans. We'll see. Anyways, keep your eyes out on that. Details for the column or in the show notes. Special thanks to Infraction for the theme music, Show for mixing the pod for us. Can't wait to see you at the game as well, Show. And Sanjay, thank you again for being my sidekick on the show.
Otsukaresama. Arigato.
Arigato gozaimasu. See you all next time. Let's go, Tigers!